Good morning. Just a reminder from Danai. I'm chucking all Jeff's stuff around now. Just a reminder from Danai, the box, the shoebox for the shoebox appeal. If you're interested, please see Danai afterwards. Before I give the notices, you would like to come and say a few words, wouldn't you, Carol? So Carol would like to say a few words as well.
For my sins, I decided to be the kind of go-between between Coventry City Missions and ourselves for the giving tree. Just to start as a bit of an explanation, that obviously I think we all know Coventry City Missions, small charity based in Deedmore Road, purpose to support anybody that's in need within the Coventry area. They've been going for over 30 years now and been running the Giving Tree project, which gives Christmas gifts to disadvantaged children across the city. Last year, they gave 1,589 children from 633 families a Christmas gift throughout the city. And to help cover more of the city, various churches have partnered up with Coventry City Missions to provide additional distribution sites and to give out those gifts in Willenhall, Tilehill, Fosel, Wykin and Horsley, as well as Woodend. They also now receive support from the Brooklands and the Maudsley pubs, who act as drop-off points for the toys. And Specsavers Canley and Charlesmore are getting involved this year too to help. With the cost of living rising, obviously children are more in need than ever. And from 2024, they've seen an increase of 12%. And the numbers have doubled since before COVID. So they are a small charity. They do need our help. I know we do help them every Christmas. So if we can, if you could give generously, that would be fantastic. I've asked Dave if you can put a poster and the notice board outside. I've got a little poster here that I'm going to put. It's ready for at the end of the service. I've got a little poster here, and they're asking if anybody wants to do a little bit of a get-together, coffee morning, bake sale, anything like that, to raise money, to buy gifts. So I'll put that on the notice board outside. I've also handed out, well, I've put them all around the church. So if you haven't got one, there's probably one on the seat behind you, in front of you, or what have you. If not, give me a shout at the end and I will find some. So it's just giving you an idea of what kind of toys they want. Approximately £15 on each child. But obviously, if you want to give less or give more, then you can. And it will either be grouped together with other gifts or several gifts made out of one donation. So there's a load of different toys and things. If you want to do a gift voucher, that you can do the one for all from the post office, because they do an awful lot of shops. And they said, please get the £10 value. And they've also said that if you're able to give us board games, jigsaws as well, then they can give these out as family gifts. So there's lots of options. The toys must be new. They cannot give books, clothing, CDs, DVDs, electronics or video games. I don't know why they can't give books, but we also need standard sized rolls of wrapping paper, small rolls of sellotape, AA and AAA batteries, and chocolate selection boxes. Who can go through Christmas without a chocolate selection box? So if any of you can help or need some more information, you know where I am. You know who I am. Give me a shout. Thank you.
Thank you. The notices for the coming week are as follows. The prayer meeting at 8 p.m. on Zoom has been cancelled on Wednesday. Friday, the church cafe will meet at 10 a.m. in the church hall, and the craft group will meet 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday's service will be led by David DePledge, and the worship warriors will meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. They're all the notices for this morning. It's my pleasure to welcome Jeff. It's nice to have you behind me instead of in front of me. And just a note, don't forget the shoebox appeal and the giving tree. Thank you.
Good morning.
Testing. Welcome to our service this morning. It's a shared service this morning, as it's Safeguarding Sunday, and it's also Church Anniversary Sunday. We're joining with churches nationwide in presenting the safeguarding policy on this day. So before our safeguarding officers, Joyce and Carol, come up to do their presentation, let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, you are our refuge and our strong fortress. We lift up to you our safeguarding officers, Joyce and Carol. May they be a refuge for anyone in need in this church. We pray that you help them to be compassionate, caring, patient, and understanding in any situation that may occur. We pray also for Dave, who coordinates our safeguarding policy, dealing with such things as DBS checks and the like. May God equip them all, along with all of us, in providing a safe church where all are welcome and looked after. We ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So now will you please welcome Joyce and Carol.
As Jeff said, Safeguarding Sunday is usually in churches on the 16th of November, or the Sunday around that, but we've chosen today to do it here. So here's just a quick outline of safeguarding in this church. In the UK, we have rules and laws to keep people safe, and we have people in our church who make sure we follow these rules to make it safe, and Jeff made reference to a few of them. Safeguarding is about protecting ourselves and others from harm, and it's everybody's responsibility. Safeguarding is an outworking of our faith in a loving and just God, the God who calls us to speak up on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves. Protecting vulnerable people from harm is our scriptural mandate as Christians, as Proverbs 31:8 says, and that's the organisation that we use, 31:8. This verse emphasises the importance of advocating for justice and using one's voice to support those who are marginalised and unable to speak for themselves and defend themselves. It serves as a reminder to take a stand for the voiceless and to champion their causes. The safeguarding works at this church, they go on in the background, DBS checks and regular reviews, ensuring people receive the relevant training and support, ensuring all those who work with young people and vulnerable adults are aware of the safeguarding policy statement, and the worship warriors help us have an induction training. We've got general information and consent forms and using images of children forms that are given to parents and carers of all young people who attend regularly. They're to be completed and returned. And these are important. They ensure we keep accurate records and maintain the safety and well-being of those who attend the sessions. And just to note, they are kept quite securely afterwards. So ensuring safeguarding is considered when planning activities, we always say do that. The church has a protection of children and adults policy statement and a safeguarding policy which detail these procedures. This is reviewed biannually and read annually at the June church members meeting. And a copy of this is in the place of worship, it can be seen in the vestry. We all have a responsibility to make sure children, young people and vulnerable adults are safe from harm or abuse. And it's important to understand that safeguarding is everybody's responsibility, including yours. Let us pray. Dear God, help us to be a church that loves, welcomes, protects, listens, learns, serves, repents, restores, transforms, values, cares, believes. God of justice and compassion, hear our prayer. Help us, heal us, guide us, we pray. We come to you in the knowledge that you hold all your children in unconditional love. We lift to those who are vulnerable and in need of protection. Give them your peace, comfort and safety, we pray. We cry to you for those who are hurting and whose trust has been broken. Give them your healing, restoration and justice, we pray. We bring to you those who are seek to forgive others who have hurt them. Give them your strength, courage and hope, we pray. For those who have caused your children harm, lead them to seek your forgiveness and to enter into true repentance. Thank you for all those who give their time, knowledge and skills to make our communities safe and secure. Give them your wisdom and guidance, we pray. For ourselves, we ask you to give us heart for the vulnerable, the oppressed, the disadvantaged and the forgotten. Help to see them as you see them, to value them as you value them, and to nurture them and protect them as they deserve. Help us, each one of us, play our part in creating safer places for all your people. In your name we pray. Amen.
And we've got a safeguarding prayer called You by Donna Ashworth. So, here is the place new light is streaming. Now is the darkness vanished away. See in this space our fears and our dreamings, brought here to you in the light of this day. Gather us in, the lost and forsaken. Gather us in, the blind and the lame. Call to us now and we shall awaken. We shall arise at the sound of our name. We are the young, our lives are a mystery. We are the old who yearn for your face. We have been sung throughout all of history, called to the light to the whole human race. Gather us in, the rich and the haughty. Gather us in, the proud and the strong. Give us a heart so meek and so lowly. Give us the courage to enter the song. Here we will take the wine and the water. Here we will take the bread of new birth. Here you shall call your sons and your daughters. Call us anew to be salt of thee for the earth. Give us a drink, the wine of compassion. Give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us well and teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true. Not in the dark of buildings confining, not in some heaven light years away, but here in this place the new light is shining. Now is the kingdom, now is the day. Gather us in and hold us forever. Gather us in and make us your own. Gather us in, all peoples together. Fire of love in our flesh and our bones. Fire of love in our flesh and our bones. And we're now going to sing the safeguarding hymn. Thank you.
Thank you.
like to share with you a story that I heard a few days ago, and I thought it went with the theme of safeguarding, and well, it did to me. I'll see what you think. It touched me. So it's called The Story of the Blind Woman. Mark and Susan had been married a few years when she suddenly began to lose her eyesight, and she got really depressed and sank into a deep despondency. But Mark said, "Listen, honey, I'm going to stick with you, and I'm going to help you learn how to do your job blind." And so they worked hard at it. He went with her to the office every day, showed her how to do a job as a blind woman. And then he would leave for his work at an army base. Well, one day he told Susan, "I'm getting to work too late. You're going to have to go to work on your own." She was freaked out by this. "There's no way I can go on a bus, walk down the street, find my office and sit and do my work. I'm blind." But he said, "I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to teach you." So they did that for a couple of weeks, each day going to showing her where to go, which bus, where to walk and everything. And then he says, "I think you know enough now. You're ready. I've got to go to work an hour earlier." So Monday came. She got on the bus, walked the street, up to the office, up the stairs to her office. Went swimmingly. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all went beautifully. Friday, she's getting on the bus, and the bus driver says, "You're a lucky woman." And she says, "Don't say that. I'm a blind woman." He said, "Well, ma'am, but every day this week, when you get gotten off the bus, there's a man standing on the street corner in a military uniform, and he never takes his eyes off you. And when you walk down the street, he's watching you like a hawk. And when you go in up the stairs in the office and you open that door and go in, as soon as that door closes, he stands ramrod tall, gives you a salute and kisses you goodbye, and then turns to go away." And suddenly Susan understood. "That's my husband. He's been watching me all this time. I'm not alone. He's watching me." That's exactly what God does for us, and even in a more profound way. God calls us to do that, protect each other, to focus on each other, to listen to each other, and to build each other up and to encourage each other. Let's pray. Father God, be with us today. Let your Spirit move among us. Stir our hearts and ignite a fire within us to desire you every day. Show us how to love like you, so that we may be a light of love in this hurting world. Be with all those suffering. Bring them peace and healing. Those in our presence and those far off. Guide those in power to make right decisions, for we pray for peace in our world of turmoil. Hold all of us in your loving embrace. We give thanks that we are able to worship you freely. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and abundant love. Such great love that you gave your only Son to die on a cross for us, that through him we may be forgiven. Lord, draw us near to you. Let us cling to the cross, the symbol of hope and mercy and love. May Christ's glory shine in us today. In his name we pray. Amen. And we'll sing our next song, which is 3010, if you may stand if you can. Holy Overshadowing. Thank you. May we take up the offering, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your gifts that you supply to us, your sustaining love, your sustaining life. We offer our offerings to you in respect and reverence. May they be used for your kingdom here in this community and this church forevermore. Amen. The reading today is from 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 2 to 13. Excuse me. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath Jearim, and all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and Ashtoreths, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines." So the Israelites put away their Baals and their Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israel territory again. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. May the Lord bless that reading. I will sing our next hymn, number 1517, "Come Thy Font of Every Blessing."
It's not 517
in our hymnbook. Right, okay, sorry.
So just the screen. Yeah.
Just the screen then.
Amen.
As already mentioned, it's the church anniversary today, so I'm going to start with a small bit of history. My history to start with. I don't know if you can all see that.
That's not Jeff.
That's not... Does it resemble me? That is a relative of mine. His name is Arthur Beaumont Pinniger. He was born in 1851. He died in 1939. And he's in the A to Z of Wesleyan Methodist ministers as a Wesleyan minister from 1873 to 1939. Any family resemblance? I think he's not a direct descendant, he's like two times removed, great, 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 great. I thought that might be interesting, don't I? So a bit of church history, and forgive me if the facts are not right from the outset. The church was built in 1558, which makes us 167 years old. 1858, did I say 15? Sorry. I feel old now. Sorry, 1858. Or it is when the congregation was established according to the historic Coventry Forum, which is where I've got this information from. A primitive Methodist church called Brook Primitive Methodist Church was built on the east side of Alderman's Green Road, down there. It's still there today. I think it's used as a storage.
It was the Les Shepherd's
storage building. Apparently that was the primitive Methodist church. And this chapel then moved further up the road, and it's now the Scout Hut. There was also a Wesleyan chapel, which was built on the east side of Alderman's Green Road in 1840. West side, the other one was, yeah. You get the picture. And apparently around 1950, the two congregations merged, and the combined church became Alderman's Green Free Methodist Church. Now, as an aside, do you know why it's called Free Methodist? It's because in those days, you could pay to have a pew. So if you wanted the best pew, you paid for it. So we're a Free Methodist, so you don't pay, so you can sit where you like. For those who haven't noticed, there is a name above the entrance door to our church. Ebenezer. Apparently in the 18th and 19th centuries, Methodists, Baptists and other nonconformist congregations, that's a mouthful, often gave their buildings devotional names such as Ebenezer, Bethel, Zion, Salem, Providence, etc., as statements of faith and gratitude. So people would say, I go to Bethel Church, Zion Church, or I go to Salem Church. That one sounds familiar. Maybe we should start saying we go to Ebenezer Church. That would confuse some people. Which brings me nicely to the passage we've had today. And if you don't mind, I shall read it again. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath Jearim, and all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and Ashtoreths, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and their Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord, our God, for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a burnt offering. to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage in battle with Israel. But that day the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point far below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. Excuse me. The prophet Samuel had cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered him. And because of this, Samuel erected a stone monument in remembrance of this, and he called it Ebenezer, which means stone of help. This isn't the first time a stone has been raised in remembrance. In Genesis 28, Jacob dreams of a ladder reaching heaven and sets up a stone where he slept, poured oil on it, and called it the place Bethel, which means house of God. In Genesis 31 is where Jacob and Laban set up a heap of stones as a witness for their covenant of peace. And then there's Joshua 4, where after crossing the Jordan River, Joshua commanded one man from each tribe to take a stone from the riverbed. The 12 stones were set up at Gilgal, and this was their purpose. We read, "In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over.'" These stones became teaching stones. And what do all these stones have in common? They all act as reminders of God's faithfulness. Our passage tells of a battle, but this wasn't the first battle the Israelites had had with the Philistines. In 1 Samuel alone, we read of 3 battles. The first was at a place called Ebenezer, where Israel lost 4,000 men. Now, Ebenezer was probably not called Ebenezer at the time of the battle, but named Ebenezer retroactively by the writer of Samuel, following Samuel raising the stone. The second battle, the Israelites thought it a good idea to take the Ark of the Covenant with them into battle. Why would you take your most prized possession into a battle? Initially, the Philistines were afraid, but rallied and fought harder. Israelites suffered a devastating loss. 30,000 men were killed. And to top that, the Ark of the Covenant was captured too. In between this war and the next, the Ark of the Covenant was returned. Some years passed and the Philistines again gathered to attack Israel at Mizpah. But this time, God intervened by sending a thunderstorm, throwing the Philistines into confusion so that the Israelites routed them. But why did God intervene this time? It's a combination of Israel returning to the Lord and Samuel crying out to the Lord. And we read, "The Lord answered him." And so Samuel set up a stone and named it Ebenezer, stone of help. With that in mind, are there Ebenezer moments in your life? Times when God has helped you? Challenges where you have felt God's presence? Psalm 77, verses 11 to 12, we read, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds." With all that in mind, you will find on the pews stones. if you haven't spotted them already, or seen me putting them out. They're all the way from Aberystwyth Beach. Now, I would like you to spend some time thinking of times when God has helped you through a specific event in your life. There may be many or there may be few. Either way, write it on the stone. And as encouragement, Deuteronomy 6:12 tells us, be careful that we do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the hand of slavery. So take a few minutes, have a think, and then write up how God has helped you on the stone. And then maybe at the end of the service, we could put them in a garden as a memorial, or if you'd like to take them home, you can do that. If everyone's got a stone, there are some about somewhere. Has everyone got a pen as well? If you haven't got a stone, we'll find one. I brought 42, so... No, I asked permission. How are we all doing? You can keep writing while I talk, it's okay. So what are we being taught here? To live in thankfulness to God. To live with hearts full of gratitude to God. Let me read Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful. We are to live for the Lord. Samuel 7:3 says, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of foreign gods and Ashereths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. We must rid ourselves of our foreign gods, pride, greed, selfishness, bitterness. The list could go on. Now, an interesting note, Ashtoreth is the Hebrew rendering of the goddess known elsewhere as Astarte in Greek, or Ishtar, which is Babylonian. The goddess associated with fertility, sexuality, and war. It's interesting to note also that the Hebrew spelling combines the consonants of Astarte with the vowels of the word Bosheth, which is a Hebrew word which means shame, to express contempt for the goddess. So, are we serving the Lord only? Or are we self-serving? Do we think of ourselves first and God second? When we go outside of this building, do we think of God at all? For without God, we would not exist. Be thankful. And without Christ, we'd have no way back in right relation with God. Be thankful. Without Christ, we would be condemned. Be thankful. For gratefulness is the attitude of the righteous. As you leave here today, commit yourselves to raising an Ebenezer to the faithfulness of God any time and every time God helps you. Be it by actually writing on a stone or a post-it note or in a journal. But do not forget the Lord's help. Let me read you an extract from Charles Spurgeon's sermon on this subject. Let us then erect the stone of help and engrave upon it the name Ebenezer. Let us remember how God helped us when we were burdened with sin, how he helped us in the days of our sorrow, how he helped us in our weakness, and how he helped us even to the end. The Christian life is strewn with Ebenezers. When we first trusted Christ, that was an Ebenezer. When we were delivered from some temptation, that was another. When we received answers to prayer, when we were sustained under trial, when we were comforted in distress, each one was a new Ebenezer to be set up to the praise of his grace. and we may go forward not fearing what is before us, but assured that he who has helped us thus far will help us even to the end. Matthew Henry said this concerning raising an Ebenezer: remembering mercy so we can rely on mercy. Let me finish with Psalm 118, verse 1, which says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we have been welcomed today, so may we offer welcome to friends and strangers. As we have been touched by God's love today, so may we give love to everyone we meet. As we have found safety today, so may we create safety for all who need it. As God has helped us thus far, let us keep raising our Ebenezers in grateful thanks to the Lord. In Christ we pray. Amen. I will sing our final hymn, In Christ Alone.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. We do have a selection, a few New Testaments at the front if anyone would like one.